God's love, to serve. And the word there is the same word that you referred to the other day that the older brother used with regard to his service to the father, enslavement.
Mm-hmm. But it's used in a good sense there, isn't it? Yes, I noticed that.
Out of love, be enslaved to one another. And it leads me to two questions. One to myself and one to you.
I hope the easier ones to be.
You general. No, you plural. Y'all. Y'all, as Larry would say.
You can thank God already.
Yeah. Do I love y'all enough to be your slave? Do I love y'all enough to be your slave? And do y'all love me enough to be my slave?
That's the lesson of the feet washing, isn't it, brother? By love, serve you one another. You know, I think probably the disciples would have really had no problem with been washing the Lord's feet. Let's give them that credit. The problem was they weren't willing to wash one another's feet. And that's the lesson of the Lord. That's why they held back, I believe. Peter would never have washed Andrew's feet, perhaps. Andrew would never have washed the feet of Thomas, who could go through the whole lot. Not how many combinations we would get. Some of you know a lot more math than I, but you know, 12, we're round and round in circles. But none made the first move, because they weren't willing to act the slave's part to one another. Randy, you went to Jew?
Just a qualification. I agree with what's been said and what our brother Andy said, but some distort that when we talk about any set of commandments. For we have in the New Testament the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord concerning the church in 1 Corinthians 14:37. And we never want to put legalism as obeying the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know we can do it for wrong motives. But the Lord said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the expression of love. I think legalism in its context would be the law, or as we heard, men making their own rules on the law principle,
yes,
doctrines of men, but never obeying the Lord Jesus. And sometimes when I teach this, we not only try to show what Christian liberty is, which we've been doing, but implied in these verses what Christian liberty isn't. It helps us understand by way of contrast. We understand the saying, it's not freedom from sin. It's freedom from sin, not to sin. But what it isn't, you see there, it's been brought out in verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Christian liberty is never to indulge self, the flesh. That's never God's idea.
Yes.
In fact, self-control will be the fruit of the Spirit in 5:23. So it's never liberty to indulge your flesh. Then as verse 13 ends, but by love, serve one another. Christian liberty is not freedom to exploit the brethren, as we've been hearing. It's never freedom while I'm free to exploit the brethren. It's service, not selfishness. And then, as you see in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in this word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Christian freedom is not freedom to disregard the goal of the law, which Romans 8:4 calls the righteousness of the law. It's moral demand. It's rightness. Lord Jesus summed the law up in loving your neighbor as yourself, the second, but the first, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Matthew 22. And so it is not freedom to disregard what the law is after, even though you don't get it by the law. And so that's what Christian freedom isn't. And there's so much misunderstanding that any time you put anything on anyone today, they cry legalism.
Yes.
And it's a word out of context. And in its context in Galatians here, it puts the whole thing in perspective.
That's very helpful, bro. I think we do need to be balanced in this. And John wants to come in now.
Well, Henry was just...
Oh, well, sorry, but I'm
going to get John quickly. He's much quicker than Henry. Just in addition, one of the things to what Brother Randy was saying, and amen, so often today you see that so many people are emphasizing grace. We're not under law, but we are under grace. And that's where the liberty gets out of control. And my wife showed me this verse one day, and it really, in Romans chapter 6, we've talked about verse 1, so we continue in sin that grace may abound, may it never be. But in Romans 6:15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? And again, he says, God forbid, may it never be. Mm-hmm. So we are not to use the excuse that we're under grace and not under the law. But because of that, we should still not be sinning.
Thank you, brother. That's very helpful indeed.
Two things. Regarding first the issue about legalism, I want to go even a step further, which is obviously what the scripture says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, there's no question there. There's no gray area there. But it goes even beyond this. And I think it goes to the fact that what we need today is more devotion to the convictions of our conscience before the Lord. In other words, what I'm saying is this, that it, even if it's a gray area, for instance, women with earrings, let me just bring that up. If a sister believes that wearing an earring is something that would dishonor her Lord, it is not legalism for her to not wear those earrings.
Amen.
The New Testament calls her to not wear those earrings. For her to wear them is to dishonor her Lord. That is the character of our Christian life, to walk under the lordship of the one who died to be our Lord. Now, what legalism is if now she looks at another woman and says, because you wear them, then you're not pleasing the Lord. Mm-hmm. That is legalism. Mm-hmm. But we need more genuine devotion to the Lord in Christian life today. Mm-hmm. Now, the second point that I wanted to make is that let's get clear, and I thought John was going to touch it when he went to Romans 6. There is no such thing as anyone who is not a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 6 says it this way. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But now, having been set free from sin, you become the slaves of God. So there's no one who isn't a slave. See? It's the question of who your master is. That's the key. Amen? I mean, and we got to get that right. And so, you know, when Israel came out of Egypt, where they were slaves in Egypt, and they went through the Red Sea, they didn't go through the Red Sea so that they would be delivered from slavery. No. They were brought under a new master.
Yes.
That they may serve me. Amen.
That's very good, brother. Now, a slightly more technical level that we've been skating around here, but it's quite important. It's not unrelated to this discussion. Randy has already touched on it briefly. Notice that although Paul has been making it clear that we're not under the law as a system, that doesn't necessarily mean that the law as part of the Word of God has nothing to teach us. Now, this is a very, very important balance. Now, we're not under the law as a system. Now, there are even some good brethren who tell us, not perhaps in our own circles, that we are sent to Christ for justification, then Christ sends us back to the law for sanctification. Now, I think that's wrong. I think that is wrong. But having said that, there is a sense in which the principles of the law still bind us, although the law as a system is no longer over us. And we have that in the verse that was quoted, Romans 8 verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law, that's how I take it, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Romans 8 and 4, in my judgment, has to do with sanctification rather than justification. And I suggest we have a similar idea here in verse 14. And does Paul not say something almost identical in Romans 13? For all the law, now we mustn't read that absolutely literally, that is all the law that relates to what we might call the second table. All the law that relates to our duties to other men and women is summed up in this word, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And it's important to know that some of us were talking about this after the meeting a day or two ago, that is it not the case that every commandment except that relating to the Sabbath day is specifically quoted and applied to New Testament believers in the church epistle? I think I'm right in saying that. So therefore we cannot say that we are not under any law whatever.
Amen.
We are enslaved to Christ. Now we'll see this again later on where we read in verse number 2 of chapter 6, so fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We are under the law of Christ. To say we are not under the law does not mean that we have no obligation. I think that's a better word, because we've already seen that the law principle will never sanctify us. Can I rephrase what I said? It doesn't mean we are under no obligation. We are under obligation to the Lord, as our brother's been emphasizing, as his slaves. And that does have content. You see, this is the idea today, that love has no content. That love and principles, that love and directions, that love and commandments can't coexist with one another. The Lord Jesus said himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember too the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things that I have committed to you. And of course we have further revelations, we all know, through the apostles in the scriptures. And this idea that you can just do absolutely what you like in any sphere of life under the specious excuse that you have love in your heart can't be reconciled with these verses, brethren. Indeed. Mm-hmm. So
the difference is that you're serving him.
Amen.
Not the law.
Not even good rules.
Yes.
If you're giving yourself to a checklist of rules and that is your end all and be all, then you're